大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus
Welcome to the Cross Cultural Seminar. My name is Masaaki Osugi.
And I'm Susan Iwamoto.
Well, Susan, we've been doing this interview special. And this time, I would like to ask you about your experience working at and for a Japanese, a major Japanese company.
Okay.
Certainly about cross-cultural communication in the office setup.
Sure.
Right? You worked for this company in Japan for how long?
Worked for about 6 years.
Six years.
That's right. The headquarters in Tokyo for a very large Japanese manufacturer. Yes.
Okay. And you worked as full-time employee.
Yes, that's right. If we use the Japanese words, it might not match up entirely. But yes, I worked there full time for the human resources division.
I see. Was it basically a 9-to-5 type of work?
Basically, but
basically,
as you know,
yeah.
the five wasn't always five. Of course, it went a little bit later than that. But
right.
Yeah, so our hours started at 8:30. So 8:30 to 5, and then, of course, overtime occasionally as well.
I see. Mm-hmm. As usual.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. And in your section or division, were you the only non-Japanese employee or were there other non-Japanese employees?
In the human resources division, I was the only non-Japanese.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
We did have other non-Japanese in different areas, corporate communications or in product planning, some of our R&D divisions. But for HR, human resources, just me.
All right. Mm-hmm. And roughly how many employees were there when you were there in your division?
In my division? Oh, that's a good question. I can't remember the exact number, but if I had to guess, I think it was probably between maybe 70 and 80, I suppose.
70 and 80?
I might be off a little
bit.
If my former colleagues are listening, they might say, no, that's completely wrong. But that was my image anyway. It seemed
about that
much.
But at least over 50.
Yes,
right?
Yes, for sure.
So, yeah. And you were the only non-Japanese worker there.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So basically you communicated in Japanese?
It depended. I worked in HR, but I worked for the global HR management department, so within the HR division that was at my section. And because it had an international feel and because of what I was in charge of, I used a mix of English and Japanese. Some of my coworkers really couldn't speak that much English, so with them it was 100% Japanese. But with some of my coworkers and with my boss, I used a mix of Japanese and English, actually, which was nice. It was a good way to kind of gradually get used to the Japanese working environment.
Okay, right. All right. And what exactly did you do in that section or division?
I was hired to help manage an expatriation program. Now, at that time, our company was sending out a lot of Japanese employees to the group companies in Europe and the U.S. and Asia. But we were starting a new program where we were bringing local staff from the overseas companies to the Tokyo headquarters. So part of my job was to help manage that program to get people settled, handle, employee relations, that sort of thing. But then I also, as the years went on, did more and more with training, with human resources development. And my final 2 years at the company, I transferred to the global human resources department. So there was a lot of overlap, I think, compared to my previous job, but I became much more involved in training near the end of my time there.
Mm-hmm. So when you say training, what exactly is it that you train people to do?
Early on, I did some training myself, which was some intercultural training at the time. For example, if we had a department that was about to accept an American employee, for example, mm-hmm. who was transferring from one of the companies overseas, plants or something like that, I would help the host department, as we called it, to get ready, maybe talk about some cultural issues to help them get used to the different working style they were about to experience and to help work effectively with their new American colleague, for example, or staff member. That was what I did for the most part. But with the training division itself, I also coordinated different things. So I worked with different training companies and selected different programs, things like that. So that was more kind of a coordinator role in the end. So occasionally as a trainer, occasionally as a coordinator. But as time went on, I realized that I really enjoyed the training aspect of it, which I think led to later leaving the company and deciding to specialize in intercultural training.
I see. Now, while you were working there, you know, did you notice differences between the American, average American, workplace culture and the Japanese corporation work culture?
Oh, definitely. Far too many to name, but just a few simple examples. I'd had a chance to work in the U.S. as well before joining this big Japanese corporation. And one of the big differences just from entering the room where the division was the open layout. Again, the typical Japanese office layout, I guess, is groups of desks, known as, islands, I suppose, shima. That's quite different from what I had been used to in the States, where people had cubicles or separate offices.
Yes.
So just that very open feel was interesting, with no cubicles at all, no partitions. So that type of working style was very... was very different, very interesting for me, and actually I soon came to appreciate it, even though there were times when I really wanted to have some privacy, or even just some simple walls of a cubicle would have been nice. But I actually appreciated having, you know, just being able to talk to my coworkers so easily, you know, just turning to them and asking a question. And my boss as well, because my boss was, of course, sitting in the same group, and it was very easy to go and talk to him and ask questions, and I didn't feel any kind of hesitation that maybe, you know, I was disturbing him if he had his own office or something like that. So as far as, you know, getting information, it was much easier in that sense.
Right. Yeah, well, many of our listeners must have seen that in movies, you know, that in the U.S., people, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of people work in different cubicles and private quarters. Okay, right. Now, did you feel while you were working that Japanese workers mingled well with everyone else? Or did you yourself mingle with the Japanese workers?
So do you mean like within our offices there?
Yeah.
I think so. I think for the most part, I'd say the majority of our non-Japanese employees spoke Japanese pretty well, or sometimes just completely fluently, because I think a lot of our non-Japanese employees were also working as translators, technical writers, that sort of thing. So they had to have a very high level of Japanese. So just making that part of the communication easier, I think, made a big difference. The people I worked with at that company were all, you know, very, very nice people and very open. So I'm sure, you know, there were individuals probably who may have hesitated to talk with a foreign staff member if that person wasn't in their division, maybe because they were worried about communication. But for the most part, I really didn't feel that there was any sort of barrier in that way.
I see. I see. All right.
Yeah.
And so after work, did people, you know, go out drinking together, and did you join them or?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it wasn't every night or anything like that.
No.
But right from the start, I was really fortunate, actually, to have so many friendly people to work with. That was my favorite part of working there, that's for sure. Even my very first week at the company. Of course, you know, there's the official welcome party. But in addition to that, some people from some other sections within the same division just asked me, you know, the first Friday night I was there, do you want to go out and have a few drinks? So I really was very happy. I felt welcome. And but the one thing I remember from that little party was that one of the managers of the other section said, Susan, you know, it's great to have you here, but you can relax and be American. And I wasn't sure what he meant at the time, but I think he was expecting me to be really, I think, really loud and gregarious or something like that. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of an interesting comment. But but as I mentioned, it was very nice of them from the very start.
Right. Do you remember any instance where, you know, things didn't work out very well because of the communication gap between the Japanese workers and the non-Japanese workers, or between the other workers and you?
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, there were, I think the communication style in Japanese tends to be rather indirect, you know, what in intercultural communication we call high context. And that indirect style can be challenging, I think, for people who come from a more, a country with a more direct communication style, certainly the English-speaking countries, or perhaps Germany, something like that. So sometimes it's easy for people like me who come from a more direct culture to miss some messages. I had a boss who's this really great guy, a really nice guy, but he had a very indirect style. So it was a challenge. Now, if I asked him a question directly, he would answer me directly. But sometimes when he was talking to me, I would feel that there was another message hanging there waiting for me to find it. So he would ask me a question and I would think, is that really a question or are you giving me instructions? So I think that that's a challenge. And of course, expectations. Sometimes those came up, maybe the non-Japanese, well, even Japanese employees too, I suppose, might have different expectations of what they thought their job was going to be. But I think one of the biggest things was overtime, especially one of my other non-Japanese friends at the company. She always used to complain that her boss always liked to schedule meetings starting at 5 p.m. on Friday nights. And she could never understand that, but she had to attend. They were required. And she thought, why? Why 5 p.m. on a Friday night? Why would you schedule a two-hour meeting?
Okay, right. Yeah, おっしゃる通りだと思うんですけれどもね。What was the name of your department?
The English name was the Global Human Resources Management Department, and in Japanese we called it the 国際人事課。
ということでしたが、そういうところで働いたの経験ですよね。で、まあいろんな点で恵まれてたというふうにおっしゃいますけれども、全体に自分と同じですね、この課というか部というか、に属する社員が、まあ、四八十人くらいいたんじゃないかっていうんですけれども、はっきりわからないということですが、でもそのくらいいて、たった一人しか外国人のですね、社員いないっていうのはね、スーザンさんだけなんですからね、これはちょっと驚きましたね。もっといてもいいはずだっていうような気持ちもありながら、でもまあ、有能だから一人いれば、これで十分だということであったのかもしれませんけれども、やはりオフィスをパッと見たときに最初に一番違うのは何の仕切りもない職場。それに対してアメリカの職場って我々映画でもよく見ますけれども、一番偉い人じゃなくても自分の部屋とか、あるいは仕切りがあるところにいたり、少なくとも少しプライバシーが保てる程度の、そういうですね、空間を持ってるわけですよね。そのあたりがやっぱりもう圧倒的に違うなと、まあ思いましたね。で、まあ会社そのものはですね、非常に皆さんの働いてる社員の人みんなよくしてくれて、まああんまり問題がなかったようですけれども、ただ、時々どうもですね、オーバータイムが、残業がやっぱりあるっていうのが、まあ日本の企業のこれね、割合に特質みたいになっちゃってるところありますよね。ですから、9 to 5かって言っても、9 to 5ってはっきり言えないっていう、ところがやっぱり日本企業の、まあ、ある意味で特徴と言えるかもしれません。最後の方の例で友人の方、5時から7時までなんでこの大事な金曜の晩に会議を入れるのかとね、フライデーナイトというの意味が分かっているのか、そこのところあたりはね、実は私も大学でよくそういう文句を言ってるんですが、そもそも7時から会議を入れるってどういう神経かと、夕飯食わせないつもりかと、それでいて弁当も出さないって、僕は学長に文句言ったことが実はあるんですね。あの人ああいうことにばっかり敏感だって思われてるんじゃないかと思うんですけどね。これ大事なことなんだよ。僕に言わせればですね、7時から2時間、9時まで会議やるなんていうのは飯も出さずに、ハラスメントなんだよ、僕に言わせれば。本当にね。うん。というふうに認識しなければいけないと、まあいうふうに思うんですが、そんなわけで、やはりですね、最後にクロスカルチュラルな観点からのコミュニケーションギャップというか、その問題は間接的なコミュニケーションを得意とする日本人と直接的なコミュニケーションを得意とする欧米人の、まあこれ必然的に起こるコミュニケーションギャップということですよね。お互いにそういうやり方をするんだっていうことを認識していくことによって、誤解が生じる危険性が減るのではないかというふうに思いますね。 Let's go on to the phrases.
Okay, well, I picked some phrases that were related to work, since that's what we've been talking about. The first is in the works. So if something is in the works, it means that it's being planned or under discussion so that it'll happen soon. So for example, you could say, many of the people in my neighborhood are protesting the new condominium complex in the works.
さあ、何々が in the works というふうに言うと、この場合の work は、まあ、S がついていることでもわかりますが、名詞形なんですよね。で、in the works で準備中。その準備だというのは様々で、今の例文のように建物であれば、どのくらいの準備段階か、つまりプランの段階か、あるいはもう建てようとしてるね、もう基礎工事に入ってるとか、まあ、様々かもしれませんが、in the works、準備中だという意味で覚えるといいですね。ではもう一度例文聞いてみましょう。
Many of the people in my neighborhood are protesting the new condominium complex in the works.
ということでね、protesting、抗議してる、ね。反対行動なんかやってんじゃないでしょうかね。condominium、いわゆるマンションですね。分譲式のマンション。これも重要なボキャブラリーですね。では、second phrase。
Okay, now the second phrase is a very casual, informal phrase.、It is to work your ass off or to work your butt off. Okay, now ass and butt.Part of the body.、So this probably wouldn't be used in very, very formal situations,、but it is a very common expression.、To work your ass off means to put a great deal of effort into something, to work very hard. So for example, you could say, John worked his ass off on that project, and I think he deserves a promotion.
さあ、ですね、クロスカルチュラルセミナーの中では初めて ass.という単語が出てまいりましたね。ASS と書きます。まあ、ケツであります。But, B-U-T-T, T が2つくっつくと、これもお尻という意味でありますね。まあ、どっちもですね、似たようなもんなんですが、ass の方がちーっとカジュアルで、男は年中言っておりますね。それでちょっと気が引けるっていう女性が ass を but に変えて言ったりしますけど、まあ、それにしてもカジュアルな、インフォーマルな、表現です。で、直訳しちゃうとだからね、尻をすり減らすくらい働くと、まあいうような覚え方でいいと思う。そのくらい一生懸命働くということであります。さあ、それではもう一度例文を聞きましょう。
John worked his ass off on that project, and I think he deserves a promotion.
というわけでね、そのくらい一生懸命働いたからね、やっぱりね、deserves the promotion、昇進ですね、してもいいんじゃないのと。こういうことなんですけどね。ということで今回は work your ass off あるいは butt off という表現をですね紹介しましたが、どのくらいすり減らさないといけないか、たまには砕けた会話表現を使ってみましょう。 See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus。
クロスカルチュラルセミナーをお聞きの皆さん、いつもありがとうございます。皆さんはどうやって語学学習をしていますか？ラジオ講座などで勉強している方もたくさんいらっしゃると思いますが、いつも聞いているラジオ番組が聞けないこともあるでしょう。そんな時の強い味方がオリンパスのラジオサーバー VJ10 です。ハードディスク付きラジオレコーダーで最大約2500時間も録音できるんです。1日24時間それでいくと何日録音しっぱなしでいいのみたいなね。AM、FM チューナーにステレオスピーカー付きですよ。20件の番組予約も OK。 録音した番組の早聞き遅聞きやリピート再生も可能で、語学学習にドンピシャリ。すごいなこれは。しかも早聞き遅聞き再生は2倍速から 0.5 倍速までの9段階に対応。パソコンとの接続も OK なので、ポッドキャスト番組はもちろん音楽もダウンロードして聞くことができますよ。ラジオサーバー VJ10 はオリンパスのオンラインショップか三省堂書店でお買い求めいただけます。詳しくは voicetrek.jp にアクセス。 さあ、これであなたの語学学習もきっと変わりますよ。Olympus.